Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Cough in a Deep. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about inside the mind. Literally, I'm going to talk about inside the mind. I want you to be able to go inside and see exactly what is stopping you. What is it you need to be thinking about? What is it that's blocking the blessing? What is it that you need to change about your mind? See, a lot of times we don't think about going inside the mind to really think how the mind thinks. And we get into a rut, and we don't really understand why we can't seem to break out of that rut. And so I want to give you a couple of pointers today that maybe it'll help you guys out to this broadcast that can help you to maybe restructure a little bit more, sort of break the mindset you have and sort of maybe recreate a new mindset that's going to be a little healthier for you, all right? The first thing I want to bring out today to you is, what is your priority? Now think about that for a moment. What is your priority? What do you first of all put first before anything? Now, I know many of you are going to say, well, I put Jesus first, and that's great and wonderful, but I'm talking about life in the sense of everyday living. Now, yes, we know Jesus is your Lord, and He's my Lord, and we thank God for that, amen? But on the other hand, though, what is your priority? See, it's so good that God has given us life and given it to us more abundantly, but here's where we have the default, and that is we tend to always say stuff like, well, Jesus is my priority. You know, if someone asks you, what is love? Oh, love is God. But if you think about it, these things really don't define what you're trying to say. It's easy to blame or to blame it or cast it on God when you really don't know what love is. I mean, if I was to tell you, you know, what is love? And you say, well, love is God. Well, that's great and wonderful, but then what is God? You know, there has to be something that leads you to a root of what love is. If you know, the same with the idea of what is it you focus on throughout the day? You know, what is your priority? Well, God is my priority. Jesus is my priority. That's great and wonderful, but once again, what does God or Jesus look like and represent to you in carrying out your fulfillment of that priority? And so, if you think about priorities, you know, I always encourage people, try not to let your answer always be Jesus or God, because we know that's our foundation. We know for a fact that's our life source. So let's move to the things in this life that can break the pattern and the habit, as opposed to using God and Jesus for more or less an excuse, because we really don't know what our priorities are. Think about that for a moment. You know, it's so easy to say, oh, you know, why are you here on earth? Oh, to serve God. Okay, well, what does that look like? Well, what is that supposed to mean to the saint sinner, the haters, the lovers, the enemies, and the friends? I mean, what does that really look like? Well, you know, and people tend to use the excuse to sort of blame it on God by just throwing in the name of God. Well, that's great, but once again, people want to know your action behind that. You know, people want to know how you carry that out. That's what people are asking when they say, you know, what do you think love is? What is your priority? You know, what is your goal in life? I ought to please God. Well, that's a cop-out, because the cop-out basically is no joke, Sherlock. I mean, everybody in the church wants to please God, or should, but the idea is, what does that look like for you? That doesn't tell me your vision. You know, saying I want to work for God, love God, live for God, that's great, but what does that look like? Where's your action? Where's your vision behind how you see God? Where's your vision behind how you view God carries out His life through a human being? And so you have to be able to look at that from a realistic standpoint of view to say, you know, God's probably pleased with your answer, but on the other hand, though, He's not, because He knows deep inside of you, you truly have no vision. You have no answer. And so you have to look at that to say, what is your priority? What is your mind saying is a top priority? In other words, well, my goal is, and then tell me what your goal is in life as far as maybe your future job. Why do you want that job? Okay, well, what is that job going to benefit? How is it going to benefit you? What is that job going to do for you? How is that job going to benefit other people? You know, how is it going to make you feel in the next couple of years? You know, how are you going to carry it out? And as you carry it out, how do you think you're going to respond to carrying that out? You're going to carry out joyful? You're going to carry out from a hardship point of view, hard-working point of view? Or are you going to do it as your vocation, in the sense of looking at that and saying, oh, you know what, I'm really delighting in what I'm doing? So you need to bring key words into this and bring the bigger, broader picture into the scope of your life to say, what is my priority? Well, here's my priority, and here's why I'm saying this is my priority, and this is how I'm going to carry out my priority. You see what I'm saying? So you have to have a legitimate answer behind that. You know, Jesus made it plain in his word that he is the chief cornerstone. But on top of that chief cornerstone is a building built, is a house built, is a church built. Okay, so tell me what that house looks like. Tell me what the walls look like. Tell me how big the walls are. Tell me how the ceilings look. Tell me how the roof looks. What color are you painting the walls? You know, how many doors does the house have in it? You know, how many rooms does it have in it? Tell me which one's bigger than which one's smaller. That is the details of you prioritizing your life, okay? To say Jesus is your priority, well, that's great. But Jesus himself would say, look, I'm the foundation, but tell me what you're going to build upon me. That's what I'm concerned about. And so I would first of all ask, as far as your mindset is, what is your priority? And get it from the detailed folks. Get it in detailed format, because you need to be able to speak it out loud to yourself to know exactly what is my priorities and how do I carry out those priorities and how do they feel in my life and how they benefit me, how they benefit other people. You know, how would it lead me in 5 years and 10 years down the road? What are the objectives of not doing this? What are the objectives of doing this? And you have to answer all the questions. One of the main things I love to tell people is sometimes you have to play the devil's advocate when it deals with your own vision. Getting a vision for your life is wonderful, but playing the devil's advocate, which means you want to see the opposite standpoint and almost find something faulty about it, and that helps you out to make sure you cover every loophole, to make sure you cover every, you know, all sides, to where, you know, as you travel and as you go and as you grow and as you stretch and as you plow and as you, you know, learn and as you evolve, you know, how will all this stuff affect it? Is it going to grow with it, or is it going to stay stagnant to where it's going to before long crack because it can't handle the pressure of change? Are you with me? So you have to be able to ask yourself those questions. Another thing I'll bring to your mindset is stretching. Are you allowing yourself to stretch? Think about that for a moment. Are you giving yourself a dose of stretching medication every single day of your life? Are you watching shows that maybe you feel is just out of your league? Are you watching shows like, okay, let me give you great example. I remember back in the day when I used to, you know, love just so many great fun comedies and TV shows, and I still do to this day. But it was so easy to turn on ABC and CBS and NBC and watch all the Monday through Friday 7 to 9 TV shows that are funny, and or the dramas of, you know, NCIS, or, you know, or the show Blackish. It's so funny, you know, or Big Bang Theory, you know, or these different shows, and it's great and they're funny and they're hilarious. But I remember there was a time in my life when probably, oh my gosh, 20 years ago, time flies when you're having fun, folks, about 20 years ago when I lived with my grandparents. I actually moved in with my grandparents. So I moved across town from the countryside because I just wanted to be closer to what I consider more living and more life and more, I like congestion of people. I always have. I'm a city boy. And so I remember moving in with them, and during that time I would go, I have an apartment downstairs, and I'd go upstairs and watch TV with them when they were alive, and they would watch, you know, what I considered at the time boring shows. I mean, the Nature Channel. And I mean, it's like, I thought to myself, if I see one more lion attack a gazelle, you know, I'm going to scream. You know, if I saw one more show on Mars and how we've gone to, and how we, you know, we want to go to Mars and find out what Mars is all about, and what, you know, does Mars have a water content to it, and how far are we away from the sun, and all these shows at the time I thought were very boring. You know, and one of the main things that my grandfather loved to watch was PBS, which here in Alabama, it's Channel 10, which back in the day, we considered the old folks TV, you know, show, because it was all about learning, boring, boring, boring. Well, guess what? That boringness opened up a world to me because it stretched me. I allowed those shows to either be an anti to me, or allow them to come into my view and come into my brain and stretch me of the things I thought or I perceived were boring would actually. In actuality, they're there to teach me. Everyone should learn something new every single day. And learning something new every day does not always mean something that you're learning something new in what you want to learn from or out of. One of the main problems with most people is we love to learn things out of something we like. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're still learning, you're learning. Praise God for that. But in the process of that, you should always begin to try to find something that you perceive as boring and sort of take the time to make yourself flexible, and by stretching yourself into the unknown places and learn from that, because there's nothing better in life. Now, I am probably that science nerd guy that loves to be able to watch documentaries all the time and see these things all the time on on nature. I love the cosmos. I love things about the universe. I love things about planets. I love things about energy and dark matter. I love things about atoms and neutrons and protons. I eat that stuff up with a passion. I love watching things about nature, how nature evolves into things. I love watching scientific shows and discoveries about how the mind works. I love watching things about, you know, how we're all energy and how we're built up of billions of atoms, and what's an atom and what does an atom do and what does it produce and everything else, you know? And I love that kind of stuff now. But it took my mind to stretch into areas that I thought were boring, when what I needed to do, all I needed to really do, is just allow myself to say, why build a wall of something that I want to define as boring when I can change it around and define it as something learning, a learning curve? And so I began to change it, because think about it, folks. Whatever you define, you're going to live by that standard. Think about that. If you define yourself as saying, you know, I believe in speaking in tongues because it's life-giving from the Spirit of God, yada, 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 you're going to turn around and you've built yourself on a mindset of that, which is great. But the problem with that is you begin to build a mindset without that thought being fluid enough to stretch and to grow and to plow your brain to realize maybe you need to have grace on those who might not believe in speaking in tongues, and not think of themselves as being lesser than you, but see them as being your equal in the body of Christ, and realizing that it doesn't, you don't have to speak in tongues, and you can be a perfectly strong, powerful Christian person by not speaking in tongues. Now, once again, for me personally, my preference is I consider myself filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I do speak in tongues. And the thing is, though, I have tons of friends that don't. I have friends that are all from all different walks of life. Why? Because I love being stretched of the unknown. I love being stretched of the unknown. I'm surrounded by people, some people that believe like me, and I'm surrounded by a lot of people who do not believe like me. And I love it, because once again, it stretches us. And you need to keep yourself at a place where you're no longer defining things from a standpoint of marking it and saying, this is how this is, therefore I become anti to this. And guess what? Then you have to break that mindset that you have allowed to harden in your brain to say, oh, this is boring. Oh, this is not fun. I don't want to learn about other religions. I don't want to learn about mindsets. Boring. I don't want to learn about nature. I don't care how a chicken has an egg. I don't care about, you know, how goats, you know, eat or sleep or drink. I don't care about the height of the highest mountain on earth. I don't care about Tibet being holding the highest mountains on earth. I don't care about that stuff. Nor do I care about China taking over Tibet. All of these things, you know, that seem boring to some people, I find life-giving. It's a thrill for me. I love all that stuff I mentioned. And so I'm saying all that to say that you've got to learn to stretch yourself into the things you do not like, because the things you do not like might be your life-saving grace. It might be the life-saving thing that you desperately need, that really you would turn around and you would actually love more than anything one day, but you're already judging it to say it's not something I care for or like, therefore I'm going to set it aside. And you do that by the paradigms you build in your brain, and it's not healthy, folks. If you want to be healthy, if you want to live with a good mindset in your life, then stretch your brain. Stretch it and say, tonight I'm going to not force myself and make myself and be miserable doing it. No, but give yourself the art of allowing, to allow yourself to say, you know what, I have really judged this wrong. I need to sort of allow myself to learn a little bit more about the things I don't like. Who knows, folks? I've seen millions of people, not millions, but I know there's millions of people on earth that do this. I've seen a lot of people who actually love the things they once hated. We do it with foods. You know, there's foods I've seen people say, I will never touch this as long as I live. 10 years later, they absolutely love them. Or they've gotten used or accustomed to them in certain foods, and they love them, and they add certain flavors. So you cannot ever find yourself saying, you know, this is boring, I don't like it, because what you're truly saying is, I am hard-headed about this. I don't want to learn about it. It gets boring to me. I've already defined it, and so therefore can never help me. But do you know, in the Bible, God used things to people that actually they didn't want to do, and they ended up loving it, and it actually set them in a place of great promotion. So what you think you don't like actually might be your lifesaver, folks. What you think you hate and you can't stand to taste, and what you don't want to watch, actually just might be your saving grace one day. It might get you the job of your dreams. You never know. Don't put so much stock in what you feel is right. Don't put so much stock in what you feel is healthy. Don't put so much stock in what you feel is good for you. You don't know what's good for you. God knows the ending from the beginning. Don't be that kind of person that says, I know what I need. I know what makes me feel good. Well, that's great and wonderful, but you're speaking out of the now moment. But you know what? You're not speaking out of your future because you can't speak out of your future. You haven't been in your future yet. You've got to learn to realize this is my now me speaking. The now me is speaking this, and therefore because of the now me speaking this, I need to realize that it will evolve. Not that it can and it might. It will evolve into something different. So I need to prepare myself to be able to dive into the unknown and open myself and make myself flexible and stretch myself to say, I need to reconsider this subject. I need to reconsider this idea. I need to maybe not just reconsider, but maybe to consider for the first time this situation or that situation. You would be amazed, folks, of what will happen within your life. And these are some things I really want you to, so to say, take to the bank with you. I want you to think about today. Because, you know, there's nothing in life where, and everybody that's listening to me knows this is true. You won't probably want to admit it in church, but you know you admit it to yourself deep down inside. And that is, there's nothing in life worse than a closed-minded Christian. Can I get an amen? I could probably hear all of you shouting, amen. Nothing in life worse than a closed-minded person, but especially a closed-minded Christian who thrives on being faith people, who thrives on believing a man can be on the cross, die, get in the ground, and resurrect in 3 days. And it's easier for you to believe that than it is to maybe go outside and walk down the street by yourself because you're scared you're going to get mugged. Hello? Of something you can't see. And something that might not even be proved as evidence that someone has been mugged on that street. And so you have to think about this, and you have to take a deep look at yourself and realize sometimes how silly we can become and how we don't allow ourselves the power to allow ourselves. Are you with me? The power to allow ourselves. We need to learn to allow ourselves the presence of the new. And when you do that, you'll begin to be the open-minded person. You know, well, I don't want to hear a Buddhist because they're closed-minded. They're going to hell. I don't want to listen to them. I'm a Christian. Well, you know what? You've just proven to yourself you're closed-minded, you're prideful, and you know it all. That's not correct. That's not healthy. Jesus never shut down anybody. He listened. Jesus was one of the number one listeners that we know of. He listened to what people had to say. He heard their cry, even out of watching their cry come forth in an action format. Think about that. The woman with the issue of blood, the woman that came, Mary Magdalene that came to his feet, she didn't speak basically, but she used her action and what she's trying to say when she washed his feet. He could have easily said, I'm closed-minded, you know, I don't have anything to do with prostitutes, you know, get away from me, but he didn't. He listened through her action. He listened through her action to see what it is that she was trying to convey. And he did that with everyone. He listened. The woman with the issue of blood, who reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" He didn't say, "Don't touch me, you filthy woman. That's a nasty thing you're dealing with today." He didn't say, "You're not part of my tribe. You're not part of this inheritance." He could have easily said that. But he listened by the touch of his garment. He listened through the action. And that's one thing we fail to do as Christians. We fail to listen with our ears and listen through the action of others. And realize that people that bear forth fruit are people that we need to pay attention to say, let me hear what you have to say out of respect, out of love, and out of honor to all humanity. You deserve the right for me to hear you. You deserve the right for me to honor you by actually lending an ear to you and hearing what it is you have to say, either by action or by voice. Folks, this is a season where we need to be able to mature into the things of the Lord and be what God wants us to be, and be it more than anything. And once again, we don't want to be those people. We don't want to be those Pharisees people. We don't want to be those people who feel that we're always right. We want to be the people who can change mindset. First, not just in others, but within ourselves, and begin to be flexible and stretch ourselves to say and to know exactly where my priorities stand. and know how to be able to flow in the shifting of the guard, the changing of the guard, so to say, and the shifting into learning something new, seeing something new for the very first time, having my priorities to where I'm understanding exactly that these priorities can lead me to different things. And these priorities can lead me and then teach me what it is I need to learn a year from now. And as I let my priorities grow and be flexible in the things in which God is evolving in me, and allowing them to grow in that vein. Let me give you a great example. If your priority, for example, I mean, people will say, you know, I'm gonna stay pure the rest of my life. I'm, you know, or I'm never gonna get married again. This is not the best example in the world, whatever. And you know, they say my priority is I'm never gonna get married. I'm gonna dedicate myself to the Lord. And then guess what happened a year later? A year later, they get married. You see what I'm saying? Or a year later, they fall in love with someone. Or a year later, maybe they're supposed to meet someone. And their priority is saying, no, I'm not going to allow it to be flexible or bend because I'm tired of marriage. I have baggage from my old marriage and I'm going to serve Jesus all my life and never get remarried. And so mindsets can destroy you. Your priorities need to be able to be flexible enough to hear and to heed, to evolve and to stretch into the things in which God has for you as you grow. And they will change, folks. You have to remember this one thing. This is one thing that will help you out. You are speaking right now strictly from your now moment. Your perception is speaking out of the now moment. And when you understand that concept, that right now how I think, what I believe, what I like and don't like, it all is based on what I'm thinking out of my now moment. But, and praise God, that will change only if I allow it to be flexible and to evolve like my body evolves as I get older, and evolve as my taste buds change and evolve in relationships that maybe some people might move away from me, some people might walk out of my life, some new people might come, happens all the time to us, and evolve just like churches do every single day. We might get new pastors, we might get a new building, we might get some people will leave and some people will stay, we might grow, we might get smaller. Everything in life evolves. You've got to allow your priorities to evolve into the greater good of who you are and what you're growing and what you're becoming every single day. It doesn't mean you're compromising. Doesn't mean you're giving in. It means you're learning to grow with the integrity of God to be able to be flexible enough to allow your priorities to stretch and grow into something that is greater than what you think is a priority right now. And that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God dwells in us and expands in us like the universe. It expands constantly only as we allow ourselves to mentally, spiritually, physically, and basically emotionally and socially and relationally grow. And it's through everything we have in our lives, body, soul, and spirit, got to be able to bend and flow the way God has meant us to grow and flow and evolve. That is part of our destiny, folks, is to constantly expand and grow and produce. So that's what I want you to take off with today, is understanding how the mind works and moving in what we consider a healthier mindset for yourselves. All right? So you guys have a blessed day today. Thank you again for tuning in. And once again, I have a dynamic course that for some reason right now people are buying and it's taking the world by storm. It's called School of the Law of Attraction. School of the Law of Attraction. It's 100% biblical. I'm going to show you and prove to you how thoughts become things. And trust me, if you're having an issue in your life and you seem to be working in the same pattern, things begin to happen to you over and over and over again, the same old things, and nothing's breaking in that rut that you're in, this course will teach you how to break that, get out of it, and attract into the things that God's will has for your life in your life, and you'll be happier you did. So go to the website today, identitynetwork.net, and just order the School of the Law of Attraction. If you need the number to the office to order it, give us a call, 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133, and ask for School of the Law of Attraction. You can order as a hard copy course or as a digital download course. God bless you guys and have a great day.